Today, we have a message that continues our series on spiritual gifting, and it's entitled The Power of Prayer, and we're going to be looking at intercession and faith and discernment. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're humbled to be in your presence. Presence of the creator of the universe. And we look to you now and to your word for wisdom and guidance, encouragement along the journey. So move in our midst this morning, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, yes, the Mountaineer kids can be dismissed. Yep. Sorry about that. If I had ever been a baseball player, I would probably have been the kid out there that always missed the signs and did the wrong thing at the wrong time. But anyways, today is a special Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and if you don't know what Pentecost Sunday is, it happened after Jesus was resurrected. He commissioned his disciples, he ascended into heaven, and they were waiting in obedience to what he said. They were waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, and they were sitting in an upper room praying with one another, and still digesting all that had happened. And while they were in the upper room praying, the Holy Spirit came upon them in power and empowered them to do amazing things. The first thing that's talked about is that they began to speak in tongues, and Peter gave this incredible sermon in which thousands of people put their faith and trust in Jesus. But this outpouring of the Spirit, as Peter said, was predicted by Joel in the Old Testament. And from it flowed many things that people can't do on their own. Gifts of the Spirit. One of those is speaking in tongues. But there are other gifts as well. And we've been talking about those along the way. But today is Pentecost Sunday, and I wanted to highlight that, because oftentimes in our culture, we're taught to forget anything that's extraordinary because it's got to have a natural cause. We're told to, you know, look into anything that happens and say, oh, yeah, but that has some sort of a logical reasoning behind it. And if we're not careful, we begin to forget the work of the Spirit itself. As the Spirit works in us, he does amazing things in and through his people. And one of those things that is part of the biblical picture of the Holy Spirit is that he gives his people gifts. He gives the believers gifts to do healings, to teach, to speak, to speak in tongues, administration, leadership. There's different gifts of the Spirit. Another way of saying that is there's different manifestations of the Spirit. In other words, it's not the Spirit isn't just up here, you know, encouraging us with words and things, but his power is manifest through those that believe in him and have faith. So faith is one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And also this word gift. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about today, but I'm going to start off by talking about a story of a soldier. Some of you probably know this story better than I do, even. But the guy's name is Desmond Doss, and there's a lot to his story, but I want to focus in on one little part of his story. It's all good. Yeah. No problem. No problem. Desmond Doss. He was a soldier in the military, but he was a conscientious objector, refusing to kill anybody and to carry arms. So he was a medic, and at this specific place called Hacksaw Ridge, you might know his story from that name. He went out in putting his life on the line and saved, I believe it was 75 fallen soldiers and brought them back for medical attention. But then he found himself in a foxhole when there was heavy fire, and there was a couple other soldiers in there with him, and a grenade got thrown in there, and they got out, and he was injured by the grenade. A lot of shrapnel went into his leg, and he was injured. He couldn't walk, he couldn't move, and he was just kind of at the mercy of whoever would come and rescue him. And that moment is what I kind of want to hone in on here, is that moment where he was out there alone, not able to get up and move on his own, and just waiting for rescue. Well, some soldiers came by and put him on the gurney and brought him a ways, but then they had to stop for cover, and as the story goes, he rolled off of his gurney and said, "You guys take that guy instead of me, because he needs it more," and he crawled for 300 yards until he got to safety, but also he was hit another time with a bullet. Anyways, he's out there waiting for rescue, waiting for somebody to come, and I don't know, I got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like we're in the foxhole, and there's heavy fire all around us. I'm talking more in the spiritual realm, in our spirits, in the things that are going on around us, the things that are happening to us. We just feel like it's just constantly coming, and it's not positive. It's just negative, negative, negative. And you know, we need a savior. We need somebody to rescue us. And the waiting can sometimes be very, very difficult. Even if you know the promises and you're convinced that you're convinced that God is a good God and that He will not leave you there, but He will come and be with you and stand with you. And even if you see Him there, in the moment, it's still not always pleasant, and it's not how we would like it to happen. Some of you may be there today. To you graduates that are out there, I would say, wouldn't it be nice if life just kind of turned out how you're planning it right now? You're going to finish high school, you can go off to college, or you go right into the workforce. You get a job, you know, you get married, you have 3 kids or 2.5 or whatever the statistic is now, 1.5. You work hard, you build equity, you retire, you go to your grandkids' ball games, and you play golf, and then you head off to paradise. And it's just as simple as that, and there's no, I mean, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't really happen that way. There's a lot of bumps and ups and downs in life, and things happen. We sometimes find ourselves in that place where we are in desperate need and we feel alone or we feel helpless. What do we do? Sometimes we feel like that injured man. Turn to Psalms 41 for a second. This isn't my main text for today, but I do want to point to the fact that King David felt these feelings. Psalms 41, starting in verse 7, King David wrote, "All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, 'A wicked thing is poured out on him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again.' Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Many characters in the Bible that we can read about have those same similar feelings of just being out there alone, just being hammered, being caught in the crossfire. And if you're there right now, it can be hard to see anything else. I mean, imagine Desmond Doss in the foxhole and that heavy fire all around him. He's probably not thinking about his retirement at that moment. He's probably thinking about, you know, staying alive. But if you're in that moment right now, you know, my heart goes out to you. I have myself been in many moments like that in my life. But now take yourself out of the first person perspective of that person in the foxhole and put yourself in a third person or a second person. I'm not an English major, but somewhere else, looking down, and you see that's the guy that needs the help. Would you be the guy that runs to him to help him? That tries to go and lay your life on the line to help bring that person to safety? If so, you might have the spiritual gifts of discernment and intercession. These are discernment, wisdom, intercession. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Discernment is one. It's talked about as like the word of wisdom, being able to distinguish between the spirits, and even the ability to discern the interpretation of different tongues. Hebrews 5:14 also says that discernment comes with practice and maturity. So it's one of these spiritual gifts that can grow in us. Discernment, a lot of times we think of discernment as being able to discern right from wrong, and that's a very biblical way of looking at discernment, but discernment also is the ability to see in someone else something that they're not saying. To perceive that there's something going on under the surface that you don't know exactly what that is, but there's something there. So this is the ability to recognize in your brothers and sisters in Christ and unbelievers as well, that there's something going on. You may not know what it is. You may never know what it is, but you can see it. They're just the way they're saying their words is a little different than normal, or they have a nervous thing that they're doing or whatever. You just recognize that it's off. And the Bible says this is one of those areas that we can grow in. But now combine discernment with intercession. And because if you see a brother or sister in need and you say, "Well, I'm glad that you're here. Go and have a great day," and that's it. Even though you've seen it, you know there's something going on. Um, there's something amiss there. God wants us to strengthen each other in the church. He gives us these gifts so that we can be edified, so that we can build up the church, so that the church can be built up. Maybe I should say it that way. So the church can be built up. And this perception of things that are happening is an important one. In Luke chapter 8, there's the story of the bleeding woman. And this is just a masterclass of Jesus in that level of perception and seeing. Sometimes we just need to be seen. So she had been bleeding for a long time, and she just thought to herself, if I only can touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. And she did. And power flowed from him, and she was healed. Now, he could have continued on as a matter of course, you know, knowing what had happened and just continuing on, but he stopped. Jesus stopped right there, and he asked, who touched me? There was a crowd around him, and his disciples were like, there's a lot of people around you. Probably a bunch of people touched you. He said, no, but there's somebody. So she stepped forward. She said, I touched you. And he said, your faith has made you whole. But he dignified her. He didn't just pass her by. She was ceremonially unclean because of what had happened to her, not her fault. And yet, he dignified her right there in front of everyone in that crowd. He saw her, he dignified her, and he does something in that situation that he doesn't do anywhere else in Scripture. Jesus doesn't call anybody else specifically daughter, and he calls her daughter. It's the discerning believer who is wise and perceptive to the needs around us. And I would say some of those that are on the vision implementation team have caught that vision. Our church has caught that vision of noticing that there's things happening around us in our community that that God wants us to lean into, that God wants us to go in faith and minister to these people, minister to those who are hurting, giving them dignity, giving them the assurance that God sees them. Discernment is the first step towards causing movement. If we just go and there's no discernment, there's no wisdom behind our going, then how do we know that what we're doing is not just our own ideas or copying what we saw somebody else do at a different church? God wants us to discern what is happening around us and have that that level of wisdom before we go. The term intercession has the idea of it, of jumping into the fray, of falling into with. And so if you intercede on behalf of somebody, it's like you're falling in with them. Perception leads to intercession. And we do this in different ways. We do this in some ways that are very manifest and easy to see, such as in cards or in visits or in words of encouragement to the person. But we also intercede, and this is probably where it's used the most, often in prayer for others. Intercessory prayer. That could probably be a whole series in its own. And some of you are prayer warriors, and you spend hours in fervent prayer for others in our church, our leaders, those that are unbelieving, those overseas who are serving Jesus in missions, and those that are unbelieving, and you intercede for them. And sometimes those intercessions happen for years and years and years and years, and you remain faithful to that call, what you feel inside to just continue to intercede for them. C.S. Lewis wrote that, and this is a paraphrase, but we relate to people only through Jesus. A sort of similar scripture verse on that is 2 Corinthians 5:16, which says, "Regard no one from a fleshly point of view, but from a spiritual one." In that passage, Paul is talking about not living for ourselves, but letting the love of God control us as we take up the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what I want to say is, if you have the spiritual gift of perception, of discernment, of being able to see needs and discern things, that's great. That's awesome. But if we attempt to go and work in that person's life outside of Jesus, then we're going in our own strength. I don't know. I always have this, probably somewhere years ago, somebody put this picture in my head of a triangle. And I relate it mostly to marriage. But I think it relates to anybody that we would want to minister to or intercede for. You have yourself, the other person, and God. And if you want to get closer to the other person, you get closer to God, and they get closer to God. That sort of image has just walked with me, and it's the same way with anybody that you intercede with. If I'm going to intercede for somebody, I know something's going on, and I don't know what it is. I could try to get it out of them and just go straight to them and say, you got to tell me so I can fix it for you. And maybe there's times when that's the appropriate approach, but every time I should go to the Lord in prayer and bring this need before his throne, to stand in the gap, to intercede for them, saying, "Lord, I think I see something here. I feel like something's amiss. I don't know what it is. Or maybe I do know what it is, and I just know, Lord, that there are some things that only you can touch in their heart. There's some things that no matter how much my words speak directly, anything I think, all the solutions that I have, it's not going to reach their heart, but you can reach their heart, Lord. And so I'm praying to you, because you search their hearts, you know their hearts, and I'm lifting them to you. I'm interceding for them. I'm standing in the gap. I'm giving this need over to you in prayer, because I know that you have the power to change what I can't change. So if I'm going to impact a person at that level, it will be in Christ. I bring their need to the throne of God, and then Christ, through the Holy Spirit, ministers to them, and he does the healing, he does the rescuing, according to his will. And that's the thing, it doesn't always turn out exactly how I have in my mind it's going to turn out. Because I don't know the perfect will of God. I don't know the exact thing that's going on in that person's life, and all of their past, and what has led to this moment, or this point, or this problem, or whatever. I don't know. God knows. So I can continue to encourage them. I can continue to lean into their life and be there for them. But I taught in my class at Ridgeview to some of my high school students this year that this is one of the reasons that we as Christians and believers can go beyond the surface level of the way somebody treats us. If I'm speaking with a non-believer and they get very argumentative back at me about how stupid I am, the world would say, "All right, well, they don't like you, go on to the next person." But I can continue to minister to that person in intercessory prayer through love, the love that God has given me, and because I know that there's things that are causing those behaviors, and they come from the heart, and there's places there that I can't move, but God can. So I'm going to continue to lift them to the Lord. But one of the most amazing promises that we have in Scripture is how God himself is described as interceding for us. So go ahead and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And if you'll stand, I'm going to read these few verses from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And a short time later, in starting in verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I just think it's amazing to think that the Savior, my Savior, who saved me by dying on the cross, who 3 days in the grave, rose again, he continues to intercede on my behalf. And the Holy Spirit ministers in me and intercedes on my behalf and says the things that I can't say because I do my best, but I stumble over words. I don't have the stamina. I feel the ache. Romans 8 calls it a groaning that all creation does because it's held in bondage right now. But our hope is a living hope. A hope of a future because of the resurrection of Christ. So, we have intercession and discernment, two critical spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit for the building up of the church. There's another one that I haven't talked about yet, at least not a whole lot, and it's faith. I'm going to give you some homework on this one. I would like for you to in your Bible study, in your time of study, as you seek to understand God's word, look at the word gift. Look at the word gift as it's used in various places in Scripture. Sometimes the Greek word that's used in the New Testament for gift is doria. And that's like a typical gift that you would give to someone else. And then in this, when we talk about spiritual gifts, though, there's a different word that's used. And you'll probably recognize an English word that's very similar to it. It's charisma or charismata. So when we talk about the spiritual gifts of prophecy or of healing or of distinguishing between spirits or of faith, when we talk about the spiritual gift of faith, it's, I don't know, maybe you might say the charismata of faith or the charismata of healing. It has much more of a sense of the Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful way to endow believers with gifts and abilities that they wouldn't have otherwise. So your homework is to just look into the different uses of gifts and of the word gift and see how that might affect your thinking on these things. There is what most commentators call a saving faith. And this is the faith that comes when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge Him as King of Kings and as Lord of our hearts. He's our Savior. And then there's this charismata faith. We're told to do things out of faith and not to doubt. And so when you use your spiritual gifts, as you exercise those spiritual gifts that God has given you, that He's endowed you with, do it in faith. Do it with the assurance of what that God can do way more than we can even imagine. Romans 14 says that whatever is not from faith is sin. And then Hebrews 11 says, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Romans 1:16 says, the righteous man shall live by faith. Even in the gift of healing, faith is important. Acts 4:16 says that on the basis of faith in His name, it is in the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through Him that has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. That was a miraculous healing, a story of miraculous healing. Faith. Sometimes we are asked to do hard things, and sometimes we're asked to do extraordinarily hard things. It's in those moments where it's not necessarily another believer that is physically coming to rescue you, but it's God that's coming to rescue and empower you and sustain you through those very, very difficult times. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving among us here in our church. He is giving us different gifts, giving us different abilities that we wouldn't otherwise have. Our world wants us to say, no, He's not. That miraculous thing that happened, it wasn't really a miracle. This is why that happened. But if we go too far in that direction, we begin to completely disregard the working of the Spirit. He's given us gifts, Mountain View. What's yours? Have you been asking Him to lead you and to guide you into understanding what your gift is in this time, in this time that we've been looking at the different gifts of the Spirit? The Sunday school ends, Sunday school year ends at the end of July. But Christ's work doesn't end then. It's not like the ministry of reconciliation to the world, God's mission to the world is going to end then. I have faith that he will supply the people for the various ministries here at Mountain View to minister to our community in a powerful way. And I think that includes you, all of you. What is your spiritual gift, and how will you follow Christ in faith to use that gift for whatever it is that he calls you to, whether you know the likely outcome or whether you have no idea what the likely outcome is? How big is the God that you serve? I serve a huge God, bigger than I can imagine. And I have faith that he can do way more than I can imagine. And so I'm going to keep following him, because time after time he has proven his faithfulness. He's proven his faithfulness. That guy, Desmond Dawson, I talked about at the beginning, he was eventually rescued. He was rescued as he crawled towards safety and then was evacuated. Where do you see the needs around you? Where do you see and perceive that someone needs extra prayer? Where do you see and perceive that there's something going on? How is God calling you to encourage that person? I can guarantee it's through him. In some way, it's through him. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word and the truth of it. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, and for the rain that you've sent. And I thank you for how you have poured out your spirit on believers. Help us to fan the flame of those gifts that you've given us, and not neglect them, but to in faith, follow you in using them. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you will bless us as we leave here so that we might be a blessing to others. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.